Join us for an encouraging word from our senior pastor, Greg Thurstenson. Here's the message.
Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 21, please. Matthew chapter 21. Is it just me, or is anybody else looking at your NCAA men's bracket and there's not much of it left by this point of the journey? How many of you can honestly say you picked Butler, the college named Butler, to make it to the Final Four? Today, as that hand is raised, I'd like to speak about being dishonest in the house of the Lord. As we turn to Matthew chapter 21, I want to again say thank you to all of you who came to help make the church look wonderful. There's been a lot of hard work done this weekend, and I want to say a special note of thanks to Pam Reynolds. Pam, would you just stand for a moment? She is our administrator here, our office manager, and she did a phenomenal job behind the scenes organizing and putting all of this together. And if we called her Batman, we would have to ask Robin, who is Casey, to please stand. They're the ones that drive the Batmobile around here, and you guys just did an amazing job, and thank you very much. Also want to say thank you to Tommy and Sherry Eccles, who opened up their home last night. We had a tremendous turnout at our couples gathering last night. A thank you to Travis and Cammie Elam, who co-hosted that event. It was a wonderful evening to be a part of. I know there are going to be other events that you'll have opportunity to be a part of, and so I want to say thank you to both couples. And thank you, Cammie, for that wonderful sausage and tortellini. Man, it was wonderful. Let's go to Matthew 21. As you're looking in verse 1, let's set the scene. Because this was Sunday of the week that Jesus would be crucified, and the great Passover festival was about to begin. Now, Jews came to Jerusalem from all over the Roman world during this week-long celebration, and this celebration was to remember the great Exodus from Egypt. Now, many in the crowds had heard of or seen Jesus and were hoping that he would come to the temple. And indeed, he did. Jesus came to the temple not as a warring king on a horse or on a chariot, but he came as a gentle and peaceable king on a donkey's colt, just as Zechariah said or prophesied in chapter 9 and verse 9. And so with that, we find in verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David," or this word Hosanna means saved, salvation. "Salvation to the Son of David, for blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." You see, as believers today on this Palm Sunday, we celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Not just this Jerusalem, which Scripture speaks of over 2,000 years ago that existed, but we also celebrate the fact that as believers, there has been the triumphant entry into our heart, into our Jerusalem. So each of us can say, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." And so this entire week, you and I have opportunity to celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into our hearts. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior today? Because it took God to save me from what was in my heart. How about yours? So this morning, let's pray over His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this Jesus. We thank You that He has entered our lives and our hearts and forever changed them. Today, as believers, we've taken our praises and we've placed them before You like palm branches. And we have made opportunity for You to come into our personal lives in a new and a special way. And Lord, today, even as we have praised You, we now pause to thank you for our salvation. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everybody who was thankful prayed and said, amen. This entire city was stirred. And they asked the question, who is this Jesus? I think that's the question each and every one of us have to ask this morning. I think we have to ask it. I think we have to look back and we have to say, who was this Jesus? Then I think we have to ask ourselves now as we look into the future, who is this Jesus? This morning, we're going to see how Matthew says that he is and he was the Son of God. Then we're going to look at the life of John, who teaches that Jesus was God who became human. And then our last stop will be at the feet of Mark. Mark will teach us that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So first, let's stop at Matthew's teaching. You're at Matthew 21. Go with me to Matthew 16, where Matthew begins to teach us that not only was he the Son of God, but he is the Son of God. Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, his disciples replied and said, well, Lord, some say that you are John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah, and still others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And isn't it neat how when the Lord talks, he'll talk about the group as a whole, but then he'll take his question and he'll talk to you individually. He does that here and he says, well then, who do you say that I am? That's a question each and every one of us are answering in our lives. Not just who he was, but who is he? Who do we say that he is? A man by the name of Simon Peter, and his words are recorded in verse 16. He looks at Christ and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus replied and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. During this Holy Week, I believe our Father in heaven desires to show us not only who Jesus was, but I believe he desires to answer for each of us who he is. I think he wants each of us to leave here this morning and say like Simon Peter, that he is the Son of the living God. So as we visit this first place and we kind of talk to Matthew, Matthew says he was the Son of God and he is the Son of God. And now Matthew asks the question of you, just as Jesus does, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Our next stop is at the feet of John. John says in John chapter 1 that Jesus is God who became human. This is important for each of us to recognize. Not only do we need to know that he's the Son of God, but we need to know what the Son of God did when he came to earth. Well, first of all, we see in John chapter 1 and verse 1 that he was there with God in the beginning. And in verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we find that Christ, Jesus Christ, was with God. That not only was he with God, and that the Word was with God, but that he is God. Verse 2 says that he was with God in the beginning. And now go down to verse 14 where it says, the Word became flesh. The Word became human. Jesus Christ became human, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Now let's go to John chapter 20. We're still answering that Jesus Christ came. He came as God, and as God he became human. And John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, tells us the story of somebody who doubted that truth. Somebody who was with him often. Somebody who was around him but still wasn't convinced. You see, I think this story is left in here because many of us are still left in a state of confusion. We're still not sure. We're still asking questions. Was Jesus Christ really the Son of God? Is Jesus Christ really the Son of God? Will I make him my Savior? And so, this story is left for those of us that might be wrestling and questioning. Says in John chapter 20 and verse 24, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But this disciple said to them, well, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. See, this disciple was with him to the place and to the point of his death. He had heard the stories of Christ being resurrected. He had heard that Christ indeed rebuilt the temple. He had heard all this wonderful stuff about the Lord, but he still wasn't convinced. Someone else's testimony didn't change him. He needed his own personal experience. And this morning, God wants each of us to experience him personally. And so it says, a week later, his disciples, in verse 26, were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Here's doubting Thomas, and it says that though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he looked at Thomas and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Isn't that something special? When you've had the experience, when you've touched the evidence, when you've been touched by him, and you can now call Jesus Christ your Lord and your God. See, there's a part in each of us that the enemy constantly tries to use questions to confuse us and to keep us from being followers of Christ. 2,000 years ago when Christ came into Jerusalem, and we are now this morning celebrating that triumphant entry, Scripture says that there were those that went before Christ and there were those that followed after Christ. And they were shouting things like, "Glory to God in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of the living God!" See, even that day, like this day, there are those that are in the crowd following God. There are those that are in front of the crowd leading the way. And yet not every person in that crowd was convinced, and I'm convinced that not every person in this crowd is convinced. That there are going to be some disciples, there's going to be some believers, there's going to be some attenders today that say, "You know what, I've heard your testimony of how Jesus Christ saved you, but I'm not so convinced. I'm not easily convinced. I've been to church a time or two, and I've seen some things of the Lord, but I'm not sure if they're for me or not. I'm going to need a little bit more convincing. I'm going to need some evidence. Until I see and touch his hands, until I see and touch his side, I will not be a believer, because for me, seeing is believing." So God continues to tell the story here. He tells Thomas, "Touch my hand, touch my side." Then Thomas said, "You are now my Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." And yet he doesn't stop there. He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Friend, I can't stand here this morning in this pulpit and tell you that these physical eyes have seen the Lord. I can't tell you that I personally have touched his hands and touched his side. But what I can tell you is, though I haven't seen him physically, I have experienced him spiritually. And he has reached out and he has touched me. He has reached for me and he has loved me and he has given his life for me. And because of his life being given for me, I can reach out and give him my life in the condition it is in, and I can be saved of my sins. And friend, I was. And so seeing for me is believing, and believing is seeing. I believed it by faith, and I saw it with the eyes of my heart, but not the eyes in my head. And so we see here, through the story of Thomas and through John writing these things out, that Jesus is God who became human. The third stop that we're going to make is in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14, where Mark teaches us that indeed Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Mark chapter 14 and verse 55 says that the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and they found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But neither so did their witness agree together. And when the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?' But it says that the Lord held his peace, and he answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You see, this day, friend, this room, this crowd is filled with people. And just as there are people in this crowd, there were people in that crowd that wondered if he was the Messiah. Is he truly who he says he is? We see here that the Lord is not afraid of your question. He stood before the high priest. He was put on trial. His faith was put on trial. And it stood the test of man's trials. It stood the test of man's questions. And finally, after a period of standing under the pressure of those questions, Jesus Christ revealed himself with his word, and he said, I am. That's powerful. He said, I am. He's saying, not only do you see me now, but in days to come, you will see me by faith sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and in due season I will return again. There will be a day and there will be a time where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and when I split open the skies and come back, everybody will know me for who I am now and who I will be then, and I am Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Holy Week is filled with all kinds of glimpses from God. God is painting pictures in this crowd, and he's saying, you know what? I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. And no one comes to my Father except through me. He's saying, I am bigger than your questions. I am bigger than your doubts. I will reveal myself to you where you are. So this morning, I think this crowd has some questions to ask and to answer. I don't think it's enough to say, who do we say he was? I think each of us have to answer the more important question now, and that is, who do we say he is? Because I'm convinced our Heavenly Father longs to reveal his Son and to reveal our Savior. Like doubting Thomas, some of us aren't convinced, and we probably need to ask ourselves some more questions. Maybe we're here this morning and we've been a little bit like Thomas and said, you know, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. What I love about Thomas's story is that he was behind locked doors. And the Lord shows up. Some of us have locked ourselves away. We've locked ourselves away from the Lord. And we said, you know what? We're not going to have anything to do with the Lord. We're not going to have anything to do with believers or Christians. We're not going to have anything to do with a local church. And yet this Easter season, God is going to go beyond all the locked doors in your life. And he's going to reveal to you his desire to be your Lord and your Savior. Still another question to ask is, will we continue as a crowd to stand before God as false witnesses, or will each of us leave here and begin to celebrate his triumphant entry into our lives? It does something to the world around us when they begin to see that Jesus Christ has entered into our heart, that we laid down our lives, we laid down our sins, we laid down our shortcomings, and that gave him an opportunity to come into our lives and be our Savior. It means something when we go everywhere this week, and as we are in Walmart buying Peeps, we tell the person beside us, hey, you know what? These come in sugar-free now. I remember years ago, before I knew what Easter really meant, my mama told me about the Lord. And this Easter, while I'm out buying Peeps, I can't help but think about the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Hey, would you like to come to church with me Sunday? And we become the testimony of God. You see, as believers, we're encouraged in these stories to see that the Lord's work is not done yet here on earth. That the Lord is coming back to finish what he started, and even now he's finishing his work through each and through every one of us. Today, we're going to conclude by reminding you that Jesus came to help sinners. Turn to the people around you and tell them there's still hope for you then. Now, just because I asked you to do that, it didn't mean you needed to. And some of you took more delight in that than you should have. But you know what? Jesus came to help sinners. Jesus came, and he's the one that came not only to help sinners, but he's the one God that has the power to forgive our sins. Luke tells the story of Levi, who held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, they complained to the disciples and said, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them and said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance." And finally, Mark tells us the story of a paralytic who four friends opened up the roof of where Christ was teaching and ministering. And they lowered him down, and Christ saw his faith, saw the faith of his friends, and said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he was questioned again. And he said to them, "Which is easier? Is it easier for me to forgive the sins or to tell that paralytic to get up, take his mat, and walk?" And he says, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And that paralyzed man got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I'm convinced that this week, God is reaching out in a variety of ways. And in his ways, he is longing to show his love for sinners. He is longing to show us his power to forgive our sins. He is longing to do such a miracle in our life that people around us shake their heads in amazement and say, "I have never seen anything like this." With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself, who do you say the Lord is? Perhaps you've never said, "He is your Lord, your God, and your Savior." Friend, this begins the Holy Week celebration. An entire world will celebrate this risen Savior. My question is, will you be able to celebrate him as your Savior? Well, this morning, if you can't say that you would, then this is your opportunity to change your answer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this is that moment that you too can join the crowd of followers, and you can simply just raise your hand and say, "Pastor Greg, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be able to say that he was the Son of God, he is the Son of God, and he is my Savior." So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would like to become a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to quickly put your hand up and put it right back down. Just quickly put your hand up and put it right back down, and you're beginning Holy Week by dedicating your life to the Lord, by giving your life to him. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. People are starting to just put their hands up and put it right back down. Yes, ma'am. They're just saying, "I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to give him opportunity to have a triumphant entry into my life and into my heart. And I know that he forgives sinners and he has the power to forgive sin. And so I want to make him my Lord and Savior." Four have raised their hands. Are there others that just want to experience becoming a follower of Jesus Christ? Still in this crowd, there might be others who are like doubting Thomas. You've gotten away from the Lord and you've doubted your salvation. You're not sure if God can love you still. You're not sure if God can forgive you. You're not even sure if God knows where you are, but you want to move back into right relationship with God and continue being a follower of Jesus Christ, and you want to rededicate your life to him this morning. Put your hand up and put it right back down. See, you raising your hand is not for me to count numbers. Thank you, sir. This is for you to seize the moment of opportunity, because life is lived out in choices. And you're wanting to make a choice that brings you life and brings you hope and brings you forgiveness. This is for you. This is a point of faith. This will be an anniversary, a birthday of sort, that you'll always be able to look back to and say, "On Palm Sunday in the year 2010, I gave my heart to the Lord, and he gave his heart to me, and he became my Lord and Savior." There's a moment left if you want to rededicate your heart to the Lord and be a follower. Then together as a family, let us pray that prayer that puts each of us on that path of celebrating him triumphantly in our lives. Let each of us just pray a prayer of surrender. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask for Jesus Christ to forgive me of all of my sins, to come into my life and to save me. From this moment on, I will do my best to live like Him and proudly announce that Jesus Christ is who He said He is. He is the Savior of the world. And He's the Savior of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's what I want to ask of you to do. I want to ask you to stand back to your feet. And I want you to take your palm branches out, also known as your hands and arms. And I want us to take just about 15 seconds, preacher seconds, and let's celebrate the triumphant entry of the Lord one more time. Would you do that? Lord, we thank You. We praise You for dying on a cross for each of us and for becoming my personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, we celebrate four people who raised their hand for the very first time and said, I want to be a follower of Yours. We thank You that You are still in the saving, delivering, and healing business. And Lord, I want to praise You. I didn't know Pastor Greg had a sermon less than 30 minutes long. I have seen a miracle today. I have never seen anything like this at Dominion Church, and I've been here for a long, long time. You hurt me when you laugh at me that way. But I forgive you in Jesus' name. But I ask that a plague, what I'd like to do is I want to just remind each of you that out this back door in our visitor information area is an opportunity for you to connect to the church. There's a lot of different ways that we can help and serve you in your journey of following Jesus Christ. If you have questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a booklet that we'd like to give to you. As four of you raised your hand and said, I want to begin my journey today, we have a booklet that will teach you now what do you do next. For those of you that would like to find out how to get more involved in the small groups here in the church, become a part of one of the life groups on Sunday morning, all of that information is located just out this door in the lobby. I bless you this week and declare that I just declare the blessings of the Lord on your house. So get out there and get your peeps before they're all gone. Have a great week.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.